This is John Walden, Colorado Springs. We have now come to the closing chapter of the book of the Revelation. If you have been with us from the first, I'm sure that you have gained a great deal in going through this book, and I'd like to suggest that you go back now and read the whole book. Go over it carefully, see how much has remained in your memory, and ask the Lord to open your understanding, because there's a special blessing pronounced on those who read and who hear and who keep the sayings of the prophecy of this book. We noticed in our last study that a description of the heavenly Jerusalem, the lovely city of God, begins at chapter 10 of the 21st chapter and continues on into chapter 22. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. You see that refreshment and life find their source only in God and in His throne. I may be speaking to someone just now who feels disappointed in life. Let me tell you that you have been looking the wrong place to find satisfaction if you have not been looking to God for it. This world will never satisfy. How many young people have told me that they've been disappointed. They have hoped for something more than they have found in life. And you'll never be disappointed in the Savior if you trust Him, if you put your full confidence in Him, accept Him as your Savior and Lord. You'll know what it is to have the river of the water of life flowing into your soul even now. Of course, it'll be in its fullness when we get home to heaven. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing, or for the health, of the nations. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And not only is God the source of refreshment and life, but He is the source of light. If you really want to know, there's only one real reservoir of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians chapter 2 tells us that in Christ rests all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If you really want to know, you must first come to know God. In the book of Genesis, we have a number of things mentioned, including the tree of life, which was then forbidden to fallen man. Now you find it given for his good. The reason, of course, being that God could not give man the tree of life when he was in a state of rebellion against Him and allow Him to live on eternally in that terrible state. But when God sets things right in your life, then He can give you things that are right and good for you. We have the curse in the book of Genesis because of sin. And we're told, cursed is everyone who continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So the Lord Jesus removed the curse by being made a curse in our place. He took the punishment. He took the shame and pain of the cross in order that we might be delivered. That's why in verse 4 of our chapter, they are at last face to face with the Lord and His name in their foreheads, that is, His likeness stamped on them at the last. When God made man, He made him in His own likeness. But sin came in and spoiled him, and man is more like the devil than like God now. But the Lord would like to change you. And when you receive Christ as your Savior, He begins a process of changing us, which will be completed when the Lord Jesus comes back and we are changed physically, even to be like Himself. Now, there's some very wonderful promises in this chapter, especially the promise of his return. Three times in this chapter, he tells us, I'm coming back. Verse 7, behold, I come quickly. Verse 12, and behold, I come quickly. And verse 20, he that testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And this is what our hearts say. We love him, and this is indeed our blessed hope. According to Titus 2:13, we want to see the Lord Jesus. We want him to come back for us. Now, the reading of this book will be an aid to that blessed hope for Christians. Notice in verse 10 that this is not a sealed book. He said to me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Twice in the last chapter of Daniel, he said that these things are sealed up. The prophecy is given to Daniel because the time has not yet come. But now, it's all an open book. The Lord wants us to know what is ahead. Notice, too, in reading this last chapter, that he's talking about an eternal state of things. He says in verse 11, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. He says in verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments. I like the revised version on this much better. I'm sure it's much more accurate. Blessed are they that wash their robes. And we're told earlier in this book that our robes are washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb. We are cleansed through the precious blood of Christ. He loved us and died for us so that we could be made fit for heaven. Blessed are they who wash their robes, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. So you see, there are some inside and there are some outside. There are some unjust and there are some righteous. There are some filthy and there are some holy. What's going to be your eternal state? Because it is an eternal state. There's never any promise in the scripture of purgatorial action that would at last deliver you from the terrors of punishment and bring you back into God's presence. It was said of Judas, better for that man if he had never been born. Now, if there was any hope that Judas might be saved at the last, after even a million years, he might still be glad that he had been born. But there is no hope. The way you die is the way you will remain. As a tree falleth, so shall it lie. I hope you'll get this thing settled. Make sure that you're ready to meet the Lord, because his coming is very, very near, many of us believe. Some wonderful last things in this chapter. The last word to keep is given to us in verses 18, 19. I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city from the things which are written in this book. So God gave us this word to keep. Make sure that we accept it as his word. Then we have the last promise, which you've already noticed. The Lord is coming back. What a wonderful promise this is. This will make everything right. Then we have the last warning in verse 19, we just read. There is a warning that you might lose the opportunity of having your name in the book of life and being and having a part in the holy city. Judas kissed the door to heaven and went to hell. Then we have the last invitation in this chapter. The Spirit and the bride say, come, verse 17 says, and let him that heareth say, come. Let him that heareth say, you heard me say it, you heard others say it, now come. The Lord Jesus said it, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." You can't earn this, it's free. There's no limit, you can take it freely. I hope you'll accept the invitation to come to Christ. This is not an invitation to join a church. This is not an invitation to accept my theories about things. This is an invitation to receive Christ, to receive the water of life, which will give you life and refresh you forever. Then we have the last benediction in this chapter. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And I pray that this will be true, because the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was that which caused him to go to the cross. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And if you trust the Lord Jesus, you'll know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that this has been a help to you. I hope that it has made you solemn as you think of the things which are coming on this world. I hope that if you're not a Christian, that you will want to get settled right away. And I hope that if you are a believer, that you will be looking for the return of the Lord, that you will be expecting God to set things right in this poor, twisted world, that you'll not be too disturbed over how you find things here, but that you will expect at His coming that all things will be set eternally right. The Lord bless these thoughts to you. Let's pray. Our Father, once again, we thank Thee for Thy Son, our Savior. We thank Thee for Thy Word, which tells us about Him. We thank Thee for all that He endured to give us eternal life. We thank Thee for His life now for us and the promise of His soon return. Bless all who have heard Thy Word just now, we ask, in the precious name of our Savior. Amen.